John Sung, Chapter 9, and in Samaria, 1930-1931. Dr. Sung had in 1930 joined the Hinghua Conference of the Methodist Church. At the first conference after his return from America, he had already been invited to preach the conference sermon. Anti-Christian agitation was then at its most violent phase, and in choosing the story of Jonah for his subject, Dr. Sung had compared Jonah's ship to the church in the midst of the storm. And, of course, this sleeping prophet, obvious of the dangers, was representative of the preachers. Such an outspoken sermon was unpalatable to some, but John Sung was never one to seek popularity, and he soon earned for himself notoriety for his slashing attacks on preachers who were not faithful to their responsibility to preach the gospel and to win men and women to Christ. He saw the situation in China only too clearly. The weakness of the system by which foreign missionaries educated, trained, and appointed men as employees of missionary societies was everywhere apparent. To men without a clear call of God to the ministry, and even without a personal and saving experience of Christ, the Christian ministry was merely a profession, a means of employment. The effect on the Christian church as a whole of having leaders of this type was disastrous, and John Sung realized how little could be done so long as unconverted or unspiritual men were in control. Revival among the rank and file must be nullified by pastors and preachers opposed to revival. Hence, his devastating attacks on church officials and mission school teachers wherever he went. These attacks were often unwarranted and tended to alienate some who would have been his best friends. But only too often they were justified and aroused the very natural antagonism of those who were unwilling to accept his strictures. As John Sung entered the wider sphere of ministry as evangelist at large of the Hinghuang Conference, he was fully aware of his call to be a John the Baptist and denounce sin wherever it might be found. Nor did he shrink from this difficult task. He believed that God had given him just 15 years in which to fulfill his ministry, and never once in those 15 years did he spare himself or turn aside from his commission. The journey which took Dr. Sung far from home for the first time on Christian service was occasioned by a special mission to Peking. The Methodist Bishop of Fuzhou appointed him to study theological education and the mass education experiment initiated by Dr. James Ying at Tingseng near Peking. The intention was that he should return to direct the mission literacy project throughout the Methodist field. On reaching Shanghai, he heard of an East China conference of the Christianized the Home movement to be held at Huchao in Jiangsu Province, organized by the leaders of the National Christian Council of China. There were over 100 providential delegates attending. Dr. Sung went there unannounced to see what he could learn. Wearing his coarse homespun cloth gown or an old suit of foreign clothes, and with his swarthy complexion, he looked most unlike an official delegate. For a day or two, not knowing the local dialect, he hardly spoke to anyone and took no part in the discussion. But then, one day in a prayer meeting, the urge to lead in prayer came upon him, and that prayer was so full of power that Mrs. Frank R. Milliken of the American Presbyterian Mission and Christian Literary Society sought John out and was surprised to find a man who could speak fluent English. An opportunity was at once given to this distinguished guest, who had been living among them incognito, to speak at one of the discussion groups about his past 3 years' work in Funken especially the extraordinary growth of the practice of family worship. Invitations followed to give his testimony to the delegates and to speak in local churches, schools, and hospitals. Hu Chao thus became the first place outside his native province where the doors of testimony were open to him. The conference over, Dr. Song went first to Hangzhou and from there back to Shanghai to stay with the Reverend and Mrs. Frank Milliken, who arranged for him to address the Chinese Literature Society on village evangelism, family worship, and the literacy movement. But as soon as possible, Dr. Song continued his journey to Peking. At Nanking, the national capital, he broke his journey to visit his former headmaster at the Memorial High School in Hinghua, Reverend Francis P. Jones. Mr. Jones was now on the faculty of the theological school connected with Jingling University, the college John had once hoped to attend. After a few days spent with Mr. and Mrs. Jones investigating the course of theological training in the latest textbooks, he crossed the Yangtze River and journeyed north over the broad brown plains of North China to Tianjin. It was the month of December. John felt like a stranger in a strange land. He was unfamiliar with the northern Mandarin dialect, and he had not had adequately prepared himself with warm clothing to face the icy winter winds which blew down from the Siberian plains. His first visit was to Reverend H.E. Dewey, a missionary at Xingli near Tennyson. Mr. Dewey was also a graduate of Ohio Wesleyan University and knew all about John Song. This friend urged John not to spend too much time over the literacy movement. The need of the church, he said, was for revival among the leaders and the rank and file alike. After a brief visit to Shanghaikua, where the Great Wall of China reaches the sea, John went on to Peking with an introduction to the Reverend R.W. Blackus, who invited him to speak to a preacher's training class then in progress about his 3 years rural work in Funken. Proceeding to Pathating, John suffered terribly from the bitter cold. There he found church life at a low ebb, and only half a dozen of over 500 school children attended a meeting to hear him speak. He went on to Tianjin, to visit the renowned Dr. James Yin. Dr. Yin was the originator and director of the experiment in mass education, which had become world famous. Dr. Song was deeply impressed with what he saw, but in a dream, God spoke to him and showed him, in the well-known picture of the fig tree, which had leaves but no fruit, that this vast undertaking, though successful in its own way, was without any spiritual value. So instead of staying 1 or 2 months, as he had intended, he stayed only 2 days. He returned to Peking with a deepened awareness of his call to awaken sleeping and lukewarm churches. Never before had he been so convicted that China's supreme need was nothing but the simple gospel of the grace of God. Other things might have their place, but this need was paramount. Refusing an invitation to stay on in Peking, John hastened back to Shanghai, where the well-known Japanese Christian Dr. Tojo, and then Kagawa, was lecturing at Shanghai Christian University. Dr. Song went to hear him and was disappointed to discover that his theme was the social gospel. When the two doctors met, the Japanese DD had once invited the Chinese Kagawa to address a prayer meeting. John, with regretful memories of his wasted years in America preaching the social gospel, spoke faithfully on the power of the blood of Jesus, the efficiency of the cross, the necessity of the new birth, and the importance of being filled with the Holy Spirit. Sensing that this message was quite unwelcome to those who were sponsoring the meetings for the Japanese doctor, John Song declined to speak more than once. His position was already crystal clear. At the Southgate Pure Heart High School of the American Presbyterian Mission, where Mrs. Milliken had arranged meetings, Dr. Song's personal testimony and his exposition of Scripture resulted in some of the boys and girls being awakened to their need. There were further opportunities for testimony at the Christian and Mission Alliance Church in Northern Zechwan Road and elsewhere. But John was dissatisfied with himself and without any confidence in his message. As a result of Dr. Song's presence in the city and of his unusual testimony spread, invitations to speak at different churches began to reach him from all parts of the city. One place that John wanted to visit especially was the Bethel Mission. Dr. Mary Stone and Miss Jenny Hughes, the leaders of this work, had already heard from the Reverend Andrew G.I.H. reports of Dr. Song's work in Falcon and recognized in him one who was in complete sympathy with the Bethel vision of the evangelization of China. It was during special meetings conducted in Shanghai in 1922 by Reverend Seth Rees and his son, Dr. Paul S. Rees, later to be associated with Dr. Billy Graham and his Great Crusades, that Andrew Gith was brought into an experience of the Spirit-filled life. In 1925, when Mr. Paget Wilkett from Japan was one of the speakers at another series of conventional meetings, Andrew Gith heard the call to form the Bethel Worldwide Evangelical Band. This and other bands had for 5 years been traveling far and wide with their message of revival for the churches and salvation for the multitudes still outside the church. John Song was given a warm welcome at Bethel and was at once invited to address a meeting of high school and nursing students at the daily chapel service. He spoke on the feeding of the 5,000 and challenged his hearers afresh with China's need and the only way in which it could be met. John swept away every argument for not accepting Christ from their minds and completely captured their hearts. When he was asked to continue with some Bible study meetings, he did so. But although he was excited enthusiasm over his original exposition, he felt that there was no power in the message. The problem on his mind was how the power to bring people to Christ could be released. When Andrew Gith and Frank Lang invited him to go north with them on one of their tours, he felt that he could not accept. It seemed that his first duty was to return home to Hinghua.